At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
The Beating the Book podcast is Gil Alexander. Baseball Geek. This is your episode. Paul Sporer, our old staple from Fangraphs, is here. Also the host of the Sleeper in the Bus podcast. We'll do all things Major League Baseball here. Season wins. We'll do props. We'll have division odds. It's actually woven throughout the betting aspect, woven throughout this podcast episode. Second hour, though, the emphasis will be on your season-long fantasy leagues. Paulie will talk about over and undervalued starting pitchers, and then we'll do the same for position players as we go around the horn. All baseball, all show, right here on the Beating the Book podcast. Enjoy.
In the South Point Hotel and Casino, it's Gil Alexander.
Hour number two of a numbers game right here at Visa, the Vegas Stats and Information Network, SiriusXM Channel 204, Visa.com, the Visa app, Fubo TV. Baseball time. We talked with Josh Towers about this yesterday, but I want to bring in my old buddy from Fangraphs. He works at Fangraphs, does the Sleeper in the Bus podcast over there. We started talking about baseball, me and Paul Sporer, about 8-9 years ago. We had never met face to face, and then like 2 months ago, we're in an airport security line. Neither one of us was doing TSA. I was with my girlfriend. She didn't have TSA, so I had to be in the security line. Mateo, that's how I was rolling that day, and.
It was like a peasant.
And it was this long, winding, taking forever security line. And there's Paulie with his girlfriend, right? Like just the sort of the lane behind me. And so here we are meeting for the first time, and we awkwardly had to like swerve into each other like 5 or 6 different times. And so the first time, I'm like, hey, Paul, give each other a hug. Second time, like, oh my God, I can't believe we met. Third time, a few small talk. Fourth time, we're like, hey, man. A fifth time, you're like, I have nothing else. It's very awkward right now. Sixth time, you're like, okay, bye. Take care. Paul Sporer, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, Paulie.
Gil, how's it going, man?
Going very well.
What an amazing way to meet, too, because I mentioned to you that I'm going to be in town. You're like, oh, I'm not really going to be there. I'm traveling for the holidays. I'm going to dip in for a small period of time.
Right.
And we meet in the line. That was unbelievable. But I got to get back out there and spend some quality time with you. Baseball's coming up. I am beyond excited.
So beyond excited. Yeah. What are you like, 6'5", by the way, Paul? I just want to get a visual for
correct.
People. 6'5".
Just think basically Chris Sale, 6'5", and lean. Taylor Swift, Chris Sale, that's the body type that you're thinking there.
Taylor Swift, Chris Sale. All right. That's good visual right there. By the way, later on the show, Tristan Thompson talking all about the Khloe Kardashian.
Don't lie to the people.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't lie to
okay.
the people.
Okay. I don't have one. I'm sorry. Let's start. Mateo, what are we going to start with here? Let's throw up some on the screen here. Let's start with home runs. Why don't we start there? Giancarlo Stanton, he of the $315 million contract, I believe it is, But it's 300 plus. Don't hold me to 315. He's the top person in the market, 40 and a half. That's where his home run total has been set in the Bronx. Then Joey Gallo, who in some seasons has had the most interesting stats of anybody, all homers and then nothing else, pretty much. Sort of the Dave Kingman of his generation, if you will. Joey Gallo, 38 and a half. Chris Davis, Oakland Athletics, reigning home run champ, who I had to have the most home runs 2 years ago at 50 to 1, and then didn't play him last year. Way to go, me.
Oh,
yeah.
Stick with him.
Yeah. Mike Trout, 37 and a half. Nolan Arenado and Coors at 36 and a half. On down the list, JD and Aaron Judge, JD Martinez at 36 and a half, Aaron Judge at 35 and a half. And then on down, including Harper and Machado at 34 and a half, along with Rhys Hoskins. Who do you like, if anybody, here?
Yeah, there's some tight lines, but I do think there are some interesting ones here. Nolan Arenado is somebody I definitely like at plus 36 and a half. I don't really see a scenario where he's going to be traded out. You know, I know that there is some concern about that. I've heard some chatter about that in the fantasy community, that they're worried that he'll be traded out if they're not doing well. First off, I just don't think that they're going to do poorly enough. You know, I don't think that the Rockies are going to bottom out and have to start selling off pieces. And he's at 42, 41, 37, 38 the last 4 years. So plus 36 and a half feels pretty good. Of course, with any of these sort of stat totals, you are betting on a measure of health without a doubt, and that's a wild card. But as far as, you know, if he continues to put up 155 plus games the way he's done each of the last 4 years, I don't know how Nolan Arenado doesn't get plus 36 and a half homers.
Plus 36 and a half. So over on 36 and a half. And Paulie said it right there, Mateo. And he's the first person I ever heard say it many years ago when he was like 12 years old at the time. Staying healthy is a skill. And so for all these counting stats, you are basically, if you're going over, you're betting against injury. That's how we lost the Altuve hits over last year, for instance. We couldn't get there because he was out for a certain amount of games. All right, let's go move to the next one here, Mateo. Talking to Paul Spohr from FanGraphs right here on the numbers game.
Let me throw a couple other side ones on the homers.
Please.
I wasn't sure if you wanted me to give them all at once
Go ahead.
Also love J.D. Martinez, arguably the best at-bat for at-bat hitter in the game, plus 36 and a half for him. You know, the more and more he stays off the field, the better it is for his health. And then two smaller ones, Matt Olson. Matt Olson's a 35 home run hitter, and he's at 32 and a half. I really like that one. I believe Rhys Hoskins is a 35 to 40 home run hitter as well, and so he's at 34 and a half. So I got four overs with Arenado, J.D. Martinez, Matt Olson, and Rhys Hoskins.
All right. Four. Arenado, J.D. Martinez, Hoskins, and Matt Olson. Matt Olson of the Oakland Athletics.
One might be my favorite, to be honest.
At 32 and a half. Okay.
Yes.
Interesting. I did not expect you to go that way. So let's mark those down. So all overs on those four. Bullish. He likes human achievement. Four overs there. All right, let's go to hit totals here real quick. These also provided by the Westgate this past Sunday. It is the aforementioned Jose Altuve with the most, 178 and a half. If Altuve stays healthy, that's a drop in the bucket, isn't it?
Easy. I mean, that one's easy right there if he stays healthy. I totally agree. You know, he got the surgery and everything. Looks like he's going to be coming out healthy. He almost got there, you know, given back 20 games last year. So I definitely like that one with Altuve. If you believe that he's going to stay healthy this year, had never really been hurt before this season. So the rebound, I do like that Altuve one.
All right, and then you have in order, Mookie Betts, Charlie Blackmon, just a hit behind him at 177.5. That's where the market was established. Yelich, 172.5. A trio of players at 170.5. Trey Turner, again Nolan Arenado, and then Whit Merrifield of the Royals. And then Gene Segura, new Philadelphia Philly at 169.5 on down the line. Trout, 154.5. Acuna Jr. at 165.5. Trout's got to stay healthy. I mean, all these guys do, but Trout's someone who you would want to stay healthy to get to that. What do you think about the rest of these guys?
That's the one for me, though. It's Trout, and it is of course, a major bet on health because the last two seasons he's gotten hurt.
Yeah.
But before that, it was five straight seasons of at least 173 hits. So I feel like they're giving you a little something here. And anytime I can bet on Mike Trout and feel like all I really need is for him to not get another injury. Some, you know, these have not been chronic injuries. I don't see a major issue with Mike Trout's health profile right now. One was sliding into a base. That's kind of a fluke situation there. So, yeah, I'm going to bet on that one. That's my favorite. That's really the only one that I dove in on outside of liking Altuve. Give me Trout at over 154 and a half hits for sure.
Is there an under there that you're looking at? Is there one of these where you're like, that seems way too high?
None that felt way too high. The fantasy community has really kind of come around that Whit Merrifield is kind of, you know, is a legit hitter, and the things that we've seen out of him have been pretty nice. He is going to be age 30, though, so if I am picking an under, I think just kind of going against the grain on him off of a career year. He was off of a career year going into 18, too, you know. But I think just betting on him to maybe an injury is all you really need there. Not that you're rooting for injury, but one injury I think kind of derails that for Whit Merrifield. He had 169, a nice hit total in 2017. So I'll go under on Whit Merrifield.
All right. I just went going under on Whit Merrifield. By the way, Whit Merrifield, it's funny that you say these things because now I'm looking up the exact number right at the current moment. Whit Merrifield still at 170.5. Altuve did go up one hit. So Altuve, okay. The market agrees with you. He's at 179.5 now. It's still an over for me.
I agree.
And Mike Trout did go up one hit as well. He's at 155.5. So the market agrees
still
with you here. Yeah, me too. Still early, but you're reflecting the market. And last one here. This is win totals for pitchers. Now, obviously, in this day and age, especially with the advent of the opener in some of these for some of these teams, but just more bullpen by the year, tougher for guys to get to certain win totals. Corey Kluber has been a guy that gets wins, though. He's the top guy, 16.5. Then you have Sale, Severino, Carrasco, Verlander, and Scherzer. Murderer's Row, all at 15.5. And then Snell and Nola at 14.5. And then a sextet, if you will, of pitchers. DeGrom, Cole, Price, Kershaw, Paxton, Bauer, 13.5. Kershaw's an interesting one, because to me, he's not even the ace of that staff anymore, and I've sort of been bearish on
him. How dare you?
I know. It's sacrilege. What do you like here, over or under?
You know, I didn't really think I'd like much of this, but I ended up with five names that I kind of like. First off, I think DeGrom's kind of a layup. You know, they got a lot better.
That is a layup.
The way he pitched last year, he probably deserved, like, 30 wins.
Yeah.
He was that good. Put him on like a league average offense and he seriously would have won like 22, 23 games probably. So 13.5 is kind of a gift there. I'll definitely take that one. I'll go under on a couple 13.5s, John Lester and Zach Greinke. Lester, you know, they're both getting up there in age. The Lester one is a bet against him and the Cubs, whereas the Greinke one is a little bit of a bet more against the Diamondbacks than him specifically. I just they don't have a great situation over there. I think they're going to be kind of a middling team, and I think that's going to be under for Zach Greinke. And then two overs on the lower end. Love Jameson Taillon this year, and think he's poised for a massive year. So over 11.5 feels pretty big for me. Like I love that one. I think even if he just repeats what he did last year, well, obviously if he just repeats, he'd get 14. But I mean, skills wise, if he just repeats what he did last year, Taillon's a lock for that 11.5. And you mentioned the opener. And right now they've said that Charlie Morton won't get an opener necessarily. But if he does, then 9.5 is a absolute lock, because then he's coming in the second inning. So I would almost love for Charlie Morton to get an opener. He is a 5-6 inning kind of guy. He's getting older. He's great, but slap an opener on the front there and Charlie Morton could win 16, 17 games. So plus 9.5. That's easy peasy for me.
Easy peasy. I like that. The angle that the opener actually helps through, because you, as you say, slap an inning there off the top. So you think that's actually better for him getting the win?
Which
makes sense. Again, this so much of modeling with baseball is how many times you go through the lineup, and the whole story with the opener is that opener faces the first three batters, and then it starts with the number four batter, technically, for what would be the would-be starter.
Yeah,
ideally, for the would-be starter, if you will. So it's a whole complicated puzzle, a whole different way to calculate these things these days. Good stuff right there. So give me your best over and your best under and all that.
My best over would be, give me Jameson Taillon, because we don't know if Charlie Morton is going to get an opener at plus 11, over 11 and a half. And my best under is John Lester, 13 and a half
all
under.
Right. I think I'm over DeGrom, I think, is my number one over. And I like the Lester call as well. Coming back, Paul Sporer from Fangraphs, at Sporer, S-P-O-R-E-R on Twitter. We'll talk American League season wins, National League season wins. We'll even get into some futures. I don't love futures pre-flop for lots of reasons, which I'll talk about. But we'll get Paulie's take on all of that. It's next on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN.
Now, back to A Numbers Game with your host, Gil Alexander, broadcasting live from our VSiN studios in Las Vegas.
Back on A Numbers Game, as the man said, right here at VSiN. Matt Jones and I already, again, we've set the over-under on Bryce Harper being signed by whatever team. 15 minutes. What was it? 22 minutes after the show?
I said 9:22 Pacific.
Everything always goes down right after the show, just like Machado yesterday. So we assume that that will happen with Harper this morning. A virtual lock. Back with Paul Sporer from Fangraphs. Still doing Sleeper in the Bus, that podcast, Paulie?
The award-winning Sleeper in the Bus. We won an award a couple weeks ago from the Fantasy Sports Writers Association. So very happy about that. We're pumping them out. We're in a full lather over there getting ready for the season. So absolutely.
Congratulations, man. That's awesome.
Thank you.
I have always said that first of all, no one likes anything as much as Paul loves baseball. Again, correct. What was it? I said, you love baseball as much as people love their cats. When I said dogs, you said, don't go crazy. Don't go crazy with dogs.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, I love my
dogs,
cat.
So.
Yeah. You love your cat?
Yeah, I love my cat.
Yeah. You don't love your cat as much as Paul loves baseball. You don't.
I love baseball more than you love your cat.
That's right.
Definitely.
Well, you definitely love baseball more than my cat loves me. That's for sure.
That's not hard.
That's the problem. See, cats, they're mean. That's why dogs are better. But we don't need to get into that because I can do a whole show on dogs versus cats.
Mean-spirited. Matt's cat. I don't know about anybody else's. The Sleeper in the Bus podcast is a deep dive into baseball. Do you guys still, like, what's your average length podcast?
Oh, we've been putting up some gems here in the off season. We definitely go an hour plus, but with these position previews, we're clocking two plus hours. We try to break it up. So if you add it up, the two parts of, say, the first base preview, we legitimately got 5 hours of fantasy first baseman. It's been kind of wild. But whenever we apologize to, you know, at the end, we're like, oh, you know, sorry, this went long. Guaranteed we get 5-6 tweets or more saying, no, we like it when it's super long. Keep going. It's all good. So, you know, people break it up. Obviously, you're not getting it done in one commute. You got it to kind of listen to over the course of a few days. So, people like it, and so we're just going to – we're long form. That's what we do.
Long form. I like that. I get the same thing the other day when I was doing Pythagorean theorem and base runs and one-run outcomes, talking about season win totals. There's always – you're right. I apologize. I do the same thing. I'm like, yeah, I know that's a little too much in the weeds for some people. There's always five or six people who are like, no. Please do more of that. All right, let's do American League here first, Paulie. Let's do season win totals on American League teams. And we'll just – I'll throw out the East here first, and you can just tell me by division, is there an over or under that you love, or do you have a lean, or do you have nothing? Let's start with the American League East, and we'll do it whatever you want to throw up here, Mateo, if you want to do Caesars or Westgate. We'll throw them up on the screen at VSiN.com, the VSiN app, and Fubo TV. But obviously it's the Red Sox, who had a lot of – I was pointing out the other day a lot of overachievement versus their Pythag last year, a 108 win team in your standings during the regular season, but they're about a 99 win team. Still great, right? Here are the Caesars numbers. It's the Yankees who have the most. They've gone up from 96.5 to 98. The Red Sox, who I was talking about, both from a Pythagorean theorem, base runs perspective, even a one run outcomes perspective, as great as they were, World Series champs. Probably shouldn't have been a 108 win team. That doesn't mean that they're not good at baseball. Their season win total for next year starts out at 95.5. It has dropped to 94.5 at Caesars. Rays from 85.5 to 84. Jays from 76.5 to 74. The Orioles from 59 to 58.5. You have the Westgate numbers. Those don't vary that much. The Red Sox are the one team in baseball where the difference is the most, a two-game difference. Yeah. So here they are from the West. We just flashed them up. So they're right around there. So anything in the AL East over or under, sir?
Yeah, I'm a little bearish on the Red Sox as well, coming off, obviously, the big World Series win. You talked about the Kimbrel situation. They're saying now that they're not going to bring him back. I don't know what they really got going on in their bullpen. I know you can kind of build a bullpen on the fly, but I don't love what they've got. So I'm going to go under on the Red Sox and over on the Rays. I like what the Rays have done. Obviously, they had that 90-win season last year that unfortunately really didn't result in anything because of the difficult division that they're in. Could be the same thing this year. They could put up an 88 to 92-win season and still find themselves at home if another team in probably – it'd probably have to be the AL West because I don't know that anybody's going to emerge in the AL Central to take the second wild card. But the same thing could happen again. I like a lot of the moves that they made, though. I already mentioned Charlie Morton. They've got some depth of pitching. Brent Honeywell's eventually going to come back. They're always working the edges to improve their team. So they don't even need to repeat their 90 because they're giving us a number of 84.5. So down on the Red Sox, up on the Rays.
Down on the Red Sox, up on the Rays. Interesting to note that the Orioles at 59.5 is right where it ought to be. Somewhere right in that pocket. Let's go to the AL Central. Obviously, the Indians. I'm very bullish on the Indians. I tend to be in recent history all the time. They're at 91. Again, if you base it on stuff like Pythagorean theorem and base runs, they were probably a better team last year than their record indicated. I can tell by your reaction you may not agree with this. Twins at 84 right now. These are via Caesars. White Sox 75.5. Royals 70. Tigers 68. And again, the Westgate numbers really right in those pockets. Not much difference between them and those at Caesars currently. What do you like? What do you not like here?
Gil.
Yeah.
You know who's playing center field for the Indians for April and May? Me.
you got the game.
They call me.
Yeah.
I'm going in, man, because they didn't have any outfielders. Yeah. They had a little raffle for whoever the heck wanted to do it. I said, you know what? I'll run it out there. I'm 37. I'm trash, but I can't be any worse than what they got. They don't have an outfield. I don't understand what the heck this team's doing. They're sitting on their hands. Now, here's where the tough part comes in, because I really hate Cleveland for October, but I don't know that I can go aggressive on the under because their pitching is so strong that they can kind of coast, and that division is pretty crummy. But don't sleep on the Twins. They've had a good offseason. I really wish, obviously, that the White Sox would have gotten a Machado or a Harper. I don't think they're going to get Harper. I think Machado was the one that they were angling for, and I thought they could have made some noise. I don't have a whole lot of love for the Royals or the Tigers. They're not going to be super challenged in the regular season, so that's probably a good number that they have there, where they got 91 wins. But I really don't like this team, and I think that they're living by a thread. They don't have an outfield. I'm not impressed with what they've done. That pitching's great, but when you're fully built on pitching, you know, little injury bug strikes the club, and all of a sudden you're looking at like an 87 win, and that could still win the division. So it's a soft under on Cleveland. I just don't like what they've got, and I definitely hate them for October. So there's no universe where I would bet them for World Series or AL futures.
Yeah, I give you the outfield. I mean, no Tyler Naquin, right? No Leonis Martin to start things off.
Gross.
At all. And in some
Greg
cases.
Allen.
Yeah, Greg Allen is in there. And I don't know who else besides Greg Allen, really, who slots in.
Me, I told you. Yeah. I'm in.
Exactly.
Put me in, coach.
Anything else with Twins, White Sox, Royals, or your beloved Tigers, Paulie?
No, my beloved Tigers, 69.5. Nice. That's about what it's going to be. Twins are kind of sneaky, but they put them at over 80 already, so I don't know. Can't really get too hyped there. So, no, it's a pretty well-structured division there as far as the win totals go, because even Cleveland, I can't really express my disdain for them at a 90, 91 win total. If they had a more in the 93-plus range, I'd be hammering the under.
Okay, so not even a play on the Indians then. You're a little too...
Nah,
yeah, okay.
No.
All right, so nothing in the Central, but you like... So far, it's the Red Sox under and the Rays over.
Correct.
All right, let's go to the AL West real quick here before the break. Astros, of course, ruling the roost. 96.5 right now at Caesars. And then it's everybody else. Let's face it. Angels,
yeah.
Right in the Angels kind of pocket there, Paulie. Low 80s, 83 at Caesars. I think it's a little less at Westgate. Athletics, oh, boom, just change right there on the screen. 82.5. Athletics, 83.5. And then there's the Mariners and the Rangers. This is interesting on the Mariners, right? Because if I go to Pythagorean theorem and base runs and one-run outcomes, particularly extra inning outcomes last year, where they were 14-1 with Edwin Diaz closing. I mean, that's insane, right? They're at 70. So even if you factor in all those things, they become sort of a baseline 78-win team from last year. But obviously they've purged. They're at 70. Do you feel any which way about them or any other team in this division?
I, I do. Like, because I was kind of looking at that same one there, too, where I don't know that they're a 70-win kind of team because they purged a lot of their talent, but not to bottom out and rebuild. Really, it's more of a retool, and they're trying to – they're almost kind of trying to go Tampa Bay Rays with no-name guys, you know, selling the big name for some of the no-name stuff. And they have some name guys, you know, Jay Bruce and Edwin Encarnacion. But, no, I think I'm going to go over on the Mariners there, and I'm surprised that I feel that way, but it's, you know, based on where the number is, I actually lean closer to saying they can beat that 70. You really only need – obviously, you only need a 71-win season, but I think they can definitely do that. They've priced the Angels and Athletics pretty tightly, so it's tough. I like both those clubs. You know, we were big on the A's last year. They came through for sure. You know, no, they're not sneaking up on anyone this year. The Angels are the one that I am vacillating on right now. Would you say they're at 81, 82?
Yeah.
That's a tough one. I do think that they've got a good club there. Their pitching is a little bit fragile health-wise for sure, but I like a lot of the moves that they've made. You know, taking gambles. I know he's already got a glute strain or whatever, but that's nothing for Harvey. Trevor Cahill, like it's injury gambles that they've taken. I like signing Cody Allen. I think he can bounce back. That lineup is deep. I wish I had just a little bit more confidence in their pitching. They should go out and sign Kimbrel. And then I would, oh, my God, I would love that. Of course, their number would go up. But I think they're a good fit. So I have a slight lean on the Angels over just because I think once Ohtani gets back, that lineup runs really deep and their pitching is playable. So I wouldn't hammer that one by any stretch. But the Mariners one, I would put a real bet over.
And that's the thing about Kimbrel, too. He really would move these markets in a way that I'm not sure even Bryce Harper does, quite frankly. At least it wouldn't in my book, you know. So so Mariners over is the big one there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll do the National League. Paul Spohr, FanGraphs. We'll get to it. Maybe some futures at the end as well. Right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
Now, back to A Numbers Game with your host, Gil Alexander, broadcasting live from our VSiN studios in Las Vegas.
Duke of North Carolina again tonight. We were talking about Duke Carolina some 40 years ago. What are they like? It's 102 to 101 in the last 203 games. Some ridiculous number. And Duke has outscored Carolina by 3 points. Don't hold me to the 102-101. But basically, it's almost five or one team. Carolina has one game up on Duke. It might be 52-51 in like the last 103 games. But Duke has outscored them by 3 points in that process. That's how close that rivalry has been through the years. Talking baseball with Paul Spohr right here from FanGraphs. Let's go to the National League. Let's try to get some season win totals. Let's start in the East. Maybe the most interesting division in all of baseball this year, and definitely maybe the most top-heavy. Apologies to the Marlins. Apologies to you guys at 64 wins. But everybody else, Nationals, maybe better without Bryce Harper at 88.5 currently at Caesars. Braves, defending National League East champs with 90 wins last year. They got 87. The Mets, who have done the opposite of the teardown, they're like, we're winning now. They're at 86. And then there's the Phillies at 87. Just moved up there on the screen. We reversed the order. Phillies 87, anticipating perhaps Bryce Harper coming to play at Citizens Bank. Anything here, because they're all, with the exception of the Marlins, obviously, they're all pretty much right in the same pocket.
Yeah, it's pretty tight, and it is tough. It's definitely something that if I were going to jump in, it wouldn't be a major bet. But I do kind of like the Phillies. I like jumping in before a potential Harper signing because I really do think they are going to get him. So I think I might make a little small play there. And as much as I like the Braves, particularly as a long-term situation, I do think that last year was kind of the beginning of a nice open window. That doesn't mean that it's a straight upward trajectory. I feel like this year they could kind of bounce back down a little bit, maybe have the proverbial sophomore slump, but as a team. And it's really due to that starting pitching. Now, the tough part there is they have so much starting pitching in the minors that if some of these guys that they currently have, like Teron and Newcomb and Toussaint, who I like probably more as a reliever because he's a little bit wild and doesn't have great depth of arsenal, they can replace them with so many guys. So, again, I can't get super excited and bet the under there, but that's my lean with the Braves is under over with the Phillies. I feel stronger about the Phillies than the Braves. It's just such a tight division, though. They're going to beat the heck out of each other. Honestly, I think the best move is probably to just go under on the Marlins because every team is going to pummel them.
And I should probably have prefaced it. I probably buried the headline. Last year before the season, Paulie was very bullish on the Braves when very few people were. And I would say you were the only person, because I did hear a couple of our other experts talk Braves. You were the only person I heard that was super bullish on the Athletics, and you hit that in spades as well. So obviously your words weigh heavily here. Let's go to the NL Central, where you have a team in the Cubbies that, based on Pecota versus season win totals in the betting market, is the widest gap. So in the betting markets, you got the Cubbies at 89 at Caesars, right around there at the Westgate as well, which you have in your hand. Cardinals 88.5, obviously Paul Goldschmidt, age 31, slotted right there in the three spot in that lineup this year. Brew Crew at 87, and then the Reds at 79, the Pirates at 77.5. Pecota, Cubs, now below 80, Paul. How do you feel about them?
Yeah, I tend to lean closer to Pecota than to the betting market there. I'm just not really in on the Cubs. Kind of mentioned it a little bit with the John Lester situation. It's an old rotation. It's weird. Like, I like aspects of it. I think Darvish can bounce back, have a nice season. He's someone I'm drafting in fantasy. But the rest of the rotation is really starting to get up there in age. You got a couple of 35-year-olds. You got pretty much everyone, I think, north of 30. Hendricks might be 29 or 30 himself. The lineup is hardly bad. In fact, there's some improvement potential there with a few guys, namely Ian Happ and Wilson Contreras getting back on track. But I also think that there's going to be some comeback on somebody like a Javier Baez. I think my biggest issue with this ball club is their bullpen. I actually like their main asset, Pedro Strop. I think he's going to kind of hold the closer's job all year. I just don't believe in Brandon Morrow's health at all. But it's a thin bullpen. And they've really tightened the purse strings. They're crying poor here. They've had a quiet offseason as they cry poor. The Chicago Cubs are going to try to convince us that they don't have any money. That's hilarious. So hopefully they suffer the consequences there of tightening the purse strings and take losses. That's a very difficult division. That's another reason that I don't really like them. So I'm going to go under on the Cubbies there at 89.5 pretty easily, because they can still be a quality, even playoff team, and not go 89.5. So that's an easy under there. I definitely agree there. Brewers, difficult to jump back in on the team that had kind of the big season, the big dream season there, going 96 wins, but they only got them at 86.5. I don't see them losing 10 wins. The main reason is because, yes, the bullpen's going to regress, because anytime you get that good of a bullpen, it's going to come back to the pack. I like their rotation to sneak tip be an asset this year, whereas last year they kind of meandered through it and muddled around with some of these guys and pieced it together. I think this year it could be a strength. Jimmy Nelson coming back for a full season, I really like him. Some youngsters like Brandon Woodruff, Corbin Burns, and then they have a lot of that that solid, if unspectacular, you know, the guys that they had last year, like Ulysses Chacin, Chase Anderson, Zach Davies, kind of at the back end. So I like the Brewers still at plus 86.5. And they priced the Reds very fairly. So I wanted to be like hardcore in on them, but 79.5 is pretty good. I do think they're a 500 ball club, though. So I will put a little one on the Reds as well. I love what they've done this offseason. They were kind of a sneak tip offense last year that people probably didn't realize was very good. I mean, your audience knows because they're in the numbers, but they had a good offense last year. And they've added some pitching. So I'll go with the Reds as well for a small bet.
All right. Cubs under, though. I'm with you. That's sort of, I don't want to say anything's an auto fade, but that's about as close to it gets. You almost just on principle have to go under if you're doing this by the numbers. We're talking to Paul Spohr from FanGraphs, also the host of, or co-host of, the award-winning Sleeper in the Bus podcast. Let's go to the West in the National League real quick here. Dodgers World Series bridesmaids last 2 years. It's a championship or bust. They're at 93.5 right now at Caesars. The Rockies, who I always find interesting when it comes to season win totals, because no matter what, although I will say last year wasn't a sweat for Rockies overs. It wasn't. They cruised into an over last year. They're at 85.5. Over at Caesars. Then you got the Padres again with Manny Machado up 78.5. We'll check what that number is right now exactly. D-backs, Giants both at 74.5. By the way, shout out Bruce Bochy, who is retiring at the end of this season. Three-time World Series champion manager,
great manager
for the Giants in 2010, 2012, 2014. What sticks out for you here?
Not a whole lot. Another division that's kind of well-priced there. I think the Rockies will be a solid team yet again, but I don't know that they've necessarily added wins. So they won what they win last year? 90? And they got them for 91. Yeah. And they got them for 84.5. So, I mean, I could see a small play on the over there because I don't think that they're necessarily going to come all the way down to 84. I think they're more of an upper 80s win team. So I kind of like what the Rockies are doing there. I don't think they're going to fall apart and start trading pieces, which is a concern for some folks, but I just don't see it. But my main play in the West would be the Giants under 73.5. Obviously, this is priced with the pieces that they have because they didn't make any moves to start selling off anything. And I know that they've been rumored on Harper. In fact, even today, there's another report that says that they're kind of in. But I don't want to get off on a whole tangent, but why in God's name would Bryce Harper go to that stadium for his prime?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, the stadium's beautiful. The city's great. You know, I'm not shading San Francisco, but I'm shading their park as a left-handed power hitter and the state of their team.
Yeah.
They have no farm system. Like, they need to tear it down. So the fact that they're even talking to Harper is so delusional, it's not even funny. But yeah, they've got all these old pieces that they haven't sold off yet, so that's why they got 73.5. This should be a sub-70 win team, so I'd kind of hammer the under with the Giants there.
Oh.
I think that they're going to move some of these pieces, including Madison Bumgarner, in season once they realize that they're not good.
Madison Bumgarner said, if you put an opener in my games, I'm walking out of the stadium right at that moment. Oh,
it's such an unnecessary tough talker. Nobody was going to put an opener on
right.
your game, dude. They don't put openers on studs. So just shut your mouth, stop ATVing, and go pitch. No one was threatening you with an opener. That's
so
annoying
true.
Me so much.
So true. Go with your ATV. Shot at Madison Bumgarner, who, of course, is a World Series legend. Let's just point that out. But everybody in the Bay,
absolutely.
Oh, man, that hurt. That hurt to hear them as a sub-70 team. And I think you're right about Bryce Harper. Listen, I spent most of my adult life in San Francisco. I'd love to see Bryce Harper in a Giants uniform, but not for one second, Paul, have I believed it would ever happen. I always thought that was just noise. We'll come back with Paulie. We'll do a little futures here at the end, wrapping it up on a numbers game right here at VSiN.
Now, back to a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander, broadcasting live from our VSiN studios in Las Vegas.
Remember, when it comes to finding value, price shopping always key. Whether you're buying a car or making a sports bet, you always want to make sure you're getting the best number. That's how this works. And at PropSwap, you'll find the best numbers on futures. PropSwap, a marketplace where people buy and sell active sports bets. And last year, thousands of tickets were sold at odds better than any sports book, including one customer who bought a Warriors to win the championship ticket at 2-1 odds. Because you're buying the bet from another person, sellers are able to offer you their bet at odds that a sports book would never offer. So start getting the best number by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. Speaking of futures, Paul Sporer here from Fangraphs. In our remaining minute here, Paulie, the futures market, I always say this about baseball, I say it about other sports, but primarily in baseball, pre-flop futures suck in terms of bang for your buck.
Yep.
Wait till there's a swoon and then jump in on a team that you had a conviction on. I did it with the Dodgers last year when they were 16-26, timed it perfectly, almost got to the promised land, didn't quite work out, but you get much more value at that point. In the pre-flop market here, the Red Sox, the Astros and the Yankees at 6-1, the Red Sox and the Dodgers at 7-1, all the way down to, who's the biggest, longest shot on the board? The Orioles, of course, 2,000-1. Any value pre-flop on this real quick?
It's tough. Yeah, I totally agree with you. It's not something I necessarily like to get into. The Mets, I'm kind of bought in on what they did. I'm trying not to get too bought in on it because, you know, you don't always want to go with the team that kind of wins the offseason. But I really like a lot of what they've done. After they did the Cano move, I wanted to see if they would do other stuff or just kind of sit on that. And they've done a whole lot of other stuff that I like. But again, that division's tough because I also like the Nats. And, you know, you got those two teams, plus Phillies and Braves. It's really tough when there's four strong teams to want to bet on a team winning the entire thing coming out of that division. So it's really difficult. I'm going to go to the Brewers. Again, I'm kind of staying on them after what they did last year. I mentioned them in the win totals, plus 1,600 for the World Series. I think that that offense is still good, even with the regression that you're going to put for some of the guys who broke out, like Aguilar and Yelich. And I think that the rotation improving is going to make up for some of the bullpen regressing. So the Brewers are my favorite one, and then probably the Mets and Nats. I might pick my favorite between those two and put a little something on that if I were going to be in this market. But I'm like you, I'd rather not. There are other avenues where I can kind of get in and express my interest on these teams besides putting a futures World Series bet.
Paulie, love you. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Support for today's show, as always, comes from bookmaker.eu, an industry leader for close to 30 years. And again, if you visit bookmaker.eu/Gill, that's bookmaker.eu/GILL, you can claim your exclusive 100% welcome bonus of up to $300. Right now, it's where the lines originate, because chances are wherever you're betting right now, they follow bookmaker's lines. So what the hell are you doing? Seriously, what's going on? It is the place where no one gets kicked out ever. Remember that. That's huge. Bookmaker.eu/Gill for your welcome bonus of up to $300 right now. And do not forget, as I mentioned on last podcast, two bracket contests this year there, a 63-team bracket with a $1 million perfect bracket prize awarded, $10,000 for the winner, $5,000 second place, $2,500 for third place. And every completed bracket guaranteed a prize of some sort. All players get one free entry and can purchase more at $10 each. All the details at bookmaker.eu/March-madness. And then, as I alluded to, there's going to be a second chance bracket contest for the Sweet 16. That'll be for $20 an entry with a $5K winning prize, $2,500 second, and $1K for third place. Again, every completed entry, and that one will win a prize as well. All the details for that at bookmaker.eu/second-chance-bracket-contest. Bookmaker.eu, your welcome bonus and your March Madness winning possibilities. A proud sponsor of this podcast.
Now, live from the VSiN studios in the South Point Hotel and Casino, it's Gil Alexander.
It is Gil Alexander. Good morning to you, everybody. Sirius XM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo TV. It is a numbers game right here where sports betting analytics live, actionable sports betting information. Matt Jones is here as well. Good morning, Mateo.
Hey.
Mateo, who took
I want to let you know.
Yeah, oh, please.
Yesterday,
yes.
I was a little distracted during the show. There's some stuff going on.
I understand. Yes.
Today, yeah. I'm locked in. I'm ready to go. It's a different Mateo today.
It's a different Mateo, turning over a new leaf.
That's
you
right.
You are forgiven for being distracted. There
Thank
was
you.
Other stuff going on in
yeah,
the world.
There was fireworks going on.
I understand.
It was good stuff.
I, too, may have been somewhat distracted with screens on here in the studio as a crawl, the old Chiron for would give highlights of some things that were happening at hearings that had national interest. Not today, though. Oh, no. We're all about two things. Bill Krakenberger coming up second hour. We always love when the crack man's in studio. Lord knows what we'll talk about. Who knows? We'll do a little degenerate Olympics on Kyler Murray. We'll talk about what his measurements came back in. This is what our world has come to, though. We care about Kyler Murray's hand size, his weight, his height.
It's important stuff.
It's very important stuff. Very important.
That 1/8 of an inch could make all the difference.
Man,
you know?
Let me tell you, his draft stock just went higher and higher today. We'll do that. Greg Peterson, a little instant offense, a little college basketball picks in the second hour as well. We'll sort of do a break and have like Greg Peterson for 5 minutes just spewing out college basketball picks. And I do think spewing is the correct verb when speaking of Greg Hoops Peterson. We'll do that next hour. But first, he is our old-time friend talking baseball with us all the time. And we're going to talk to him. We did a whole bunch of stuff with him already. Season wins, futures. What else did we do? We did props, certain props. We'll have more props with him today. We'll do Cy Young Award, AL and NL, which was released over at the Westgate. But we want to talk fantasy baseball for those who are in leagues and want to know a position-by-position breakdown, pitchers, and then around the horn. Ladies and gentlemen, he's our guy from Fangraphs, also the co-host of the Sleeper and the Bust podcast, which is hosted over there at Fangraphs. It's our buddy Paul Spohr. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning, Gil. How's it going?
It's going very well. You don't mind also if in through your appearance here, if we also do a Is Rob Manfred Crazy thread every once in a while?
Oh, you know, the answer is going to be yes every time, but sure, let's go back and forth on that.
All right, let's start with one, which is what we were dealing with the other day before we get into the other stuff. Rob Manfred decided the other day that Major League Baseball decided they didn't want people here in Nevada betting on preseason baseball games and spring training baseball games. They actually extended it to other jurisdictions now as well. And we here in Nevada are like, yeah, pick the sport with the lowest limits. First of all, it was only in Nevada, which made no sense that he was going after it. What in the world? Like, it came out of nowhere. Why does Rob Manfred care that people are betting on spring training baseball games?
I don't know. And this seems to be kind of a constant with Rob, where he gets his attention focused on the absolute wrong and dumbest things.
Yes.
To try to, you know, for example, going to the picking up the pace of play and then instituting the intentional walk thing. That doesn't do anything. That doesn't help it. So you're not addressing the problem. You know, if you're worried about any potential corruption, which I don't what athletes make these days, there's just not that much potential for corruption and stuff. But going after spring training betting, like, it's such a nothing factor. I've really soured on Manfred as a commissioner.
Me too.
And I'm greatly concerned with him at the helm for the 21 negotiations, because I don't trust his judgment right now. He's given me nothing to feel that his judgment is worthwhile. You know, he gave up the pitch clock thing.
Yes.
Which I think was stupid too. Because I think that's one of those things that people make a big deal about. And I know some of the old timer guys, you know, the top dogs usually come out and say stuff against it, like Scherzer and Justin Verlander and type of guys like that. And I get it. You know, they're locked into something. I totally understand that. But they would barely notice it a week into the season. That's like how quickly it would be. I see it every year at the Arizona Fall League. I don't even notice it now. Like, it's not a thing. I've seen it, I think, now for the last 2 or 3 years at the Arizona Fall League. I think I've seen two balls, and they're from the same guy, Justice Sheffield, and it was in the All-Star game. And I think maybe he was just taking his time a little bit to regroup, and it ended up running out the clock twice. But it's a nothing factor. And so him giving that up, too, I don't know what the heck he's doing. I don't trust his judgment, and I'm nervous about the game with Manfred at the helm.
Yeah, I when he first appeared, I remember I was at the Sloan Sports Conference at MIT. And by the way, shout out to the Sloan Sports Conference, which begins tomorrow and goes through Saturday. They have stolen, Mateo, they have stolen our hashtag, a numbers game. So for the next 2 days, everybody at the conference will be seeing our videos on this show.
Hey, thanks for the free pub, you know?
So thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you, Daryl Morey. By the way, Daryl Morey will also be rocking my one of those idiots who believes in analytics shirts as well. So it's a little.
Wait, you have a shirt that says that? I heard the clip.
Yeah, it's for my buddy Tim Lawson. You want one of those shirts? We'll get it to you.
Of course I do. Yeah.
All right. Daryl Morey, me and you. We're going to start a trend on this. All right. So let's start. We'll continue with Rob Manfred later, because I do agree with you. I think he is approaching. He'll never approach Goodell status, but he is going.
Correct.
He's going in the Bettman direction, away from Adam Silver.
Ooh,
yeah, away
that's
from
a
Adam.
Good call. Yeah,
yeah, away from
that's
Adam Silver.
That's the right part of the spectrum.
Although Adam Silver's got to stop those players-only broadcasts. Let me just throw that in there, because those are an abomination. All right, so let's start with starting pitchers, because this is where you made your hay so many years ago. Paul Sporer, right here from Fangraphs. Paul used to write this just unbelievably dense starting pitchers guide before. I mean, what were you, like 8 years old, 9 years old at that time when you wrote that guide? It's amazing.
Gil, I'm old. That's the thing that you forget, is that, you know, I was in my 20s doing that, because I'm 37 now, despite the fact that I don't necessarily look that old. But yeah, I was doing that. I started on a message board, turned it into a PDF, ended up becoming a little something. You know, that's how we met via that. And so starting pitcher guide, always going to have a soft spot in my heart, but it owns the winter, and so it's hard to do that with a full-time gig.
Absolutely.
And so that's the main reason that it has gone by the wayside.
Yeah, that was too much. I understand. Now you actually have employment, so you can't do everything anymore. But now, the one thing you are great at here is still, we're going to break down fantasy positions for league-long players. Now, how do you do this? Because there's different formats in leagues. Do you want to do it by tier? How I leave it to you.
Yeah, I mean, so usually I focus on roto, rotisserie, the five by five categories. I know a lot of people play points leagues. The differences aren't that stark that one can't work for the other, but I think that still roto is more popular, so we can go we can go with that as a format, and then we can go however you want. Like, are you looking for some sleepers? You want to run down the entire. Obviously, we can't go down 150 pitchers, but
no.
What do you want to do? I can definitely cater to what you got here. I got my list ready to go.
Let's do it this way. Let's just go overachievers and underachievers. So overvalued and undervalued, if you will. So let's start with the pitchers. And I guess we haven't been that far into any draft season where we can really get an exceptional average draft position at this point.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Yeah.
You would be surprised.
I'm NFBC, sure I would be. Yeah.
The National Fantasy Baseball Championship's been running leagues all winter, and there's definitely enough data that I can look at and have some real thoughts on that. And in fact, what I'll even do, just since February 1st, they've got enough data that I can kind of look here and make some judgments. So we got enough data for that. Don't
worry.
Okay.
All right. So let's do the overvalued starting pitchers right now, 2019 fantasy baseball drafts.
All right, so I'm going to put two kind of off to the side because their prices are constantly evolving, and they could actually start to push down toward undervalued. And obviously, with all the Kershaw news, if you're going to look at his ADP right now, you're going to say, "Oh, that's too high." But of course, it was without the benefit of all the bad news, and so he's definitely going to come down, and it's going to be interesting to kind of see where he lands. Like I said, he could actually shift into a value. I was among those who was saying, stay on the Kershaw train. He's Clayton Kershaw. Then we got this bad news to open spring, and it's a little less interesting to stay on that bandwagon. But if the price gets to a certain point, you better believe that I'm going to buy Clayton Kershaw at a discount. Madison Bumgarner, same sort of deal, where he's kind of fluctuating wildly. So those two are kind of off to the side. A few guys that I don't really like would include, I'm a little bit nervous on Trevor Bauer. And I feel bad because I'm on a stats-oriented. It's funny, by the way. I'm going to contradict myself down the line. Just a little heads up there. But I'm a little on a stats-oriented show to say that it's a bit of a gut feel. And what it is with Bauer is that he's so good at kind of figuring things out and tinkering that I'm worried that he out-tinkers himself at some point during the season and kind of loses the greatness that we saw this past year. It was his first great year. It was cut short by...
Yeah, I'm not to interrupt. He's always been that way, though, hasn't he? Like, didn't that sort of get him run out of Arizona, that he was like that, and he was sort of uncoachable to them?
Exactly, and that's why he took so long to break out, I think, because he would just kind of guardrail to guardrail tinker things. And he was a decent pitcher, a perfectly capable, like, number four starter for several years, and then last year had the ace turn. So I'm just a little worried that he might push back to a quality 370 ERA and 120 whip. Like, there's nothing wrong with that, but he is the ninth pitcher off the board. He's a top 30 pick. And so that's where that concern, it's not a bust concern. It's you're drafting an ace and getting a number three type of deal. So I got a little bit of concern with Trevor Bauer. And again, it's not a great statistical thing. It's more of a gut thing. Zach Greinke is one. It's the hot potato. I know he comes in the spring every year throwing like 71 on his fastball and everyone freaks out and then he ends up doing his thing. I just don't want to be holding that hot potato, right? I've gotten enough great Zach Greinke seasons of my own. I don't think his price is over the top as the 23rd pitcher and 68th pick. Like, that's not so egregious that I think someone's crazy for doing it. But there's so many pitchers around him that I'd rather have that, like I said, it's the hot potato. You hang on to this one because it is going to come down at some point, and I just don't want to be left holding the bag on Zach Greinke.
Understood. So, again, Paulie, not saying these guys are bad at baseball, just saying they're being overdrafted currently.
Exactly.
Trevor Bauer, Zach Greinke, for the reasons stated. How about a couple? I mean, you may have some more names on the overside. If you want to, you can just list them. But how about some underdrafted players? Players that are undervalued.
Yeah, the under is where I love to live, and so I'll definitely get in on some of that. I like Nathan Eovaldi. I really like the changes that he made last year. That cutter was absolutely amazing. And one of the big differences in fantasy baseball these days is that with so few guys actually going 200 innings, somebody like a Nathan Eovaldi, who you can really only plan for about 130 innings, he might get more, but you can't plan for that. You can't ink it into your projections, but that's okay, because so many guys kind of live in the 120 to 170 range that a really sharp 125 innings from Nathan Eovaldi can be like a top 30 starter. And he's going off the board at like 50th among starters.
Do you worry that he ends up being a closer in Boston?
Well, I tell you what, if he became a closer for fantasy, that wouldn't be a problem. If he became a middle reliever, more of a Josh Hader type, that would be a little bit of an issue, but even that would still be usable. Again, with the way the game is going, back in like 5 years ago, even a Josh Hader, as good as he was, would be available on the waiver wire in some leagues because he wasn't getting saves, and like a middle reliever like that just wasn't that valuable because so many starters were out there getting 180-plus innings. Nowadays, that's valuable. So I think whatever role they put Eovaldi in, he can be useful. I'd almost prefer him as a closer because he would be so devastating in racking up saves. Most leagues still use saves. So I will take it. Whatever hybrid role they want to use for him, I'm in. Another one I really like is Joe Musgrove out in Pittsburgh. Really impressive. You know, when that Garrett Cole trade happened, I thought it was a win-win deal. I was really, really, really excited about what Cole could do with Houston, and he, of course, was amazing. And I thought they did not get ripped off for him, though. Joe Musgrove is a really strong pitcher, and he showed a lot of it last year. The 4.06 ERA might be misleading folks into thinking that he wasn't that good, but he was. He had a 1.18 whip and really good strikeout walk ratio. So I think Joe Musgrove can have a big breakout season this year. I really like what he's up to. Jimmy Nelson on the bounce back. He missed all of last year with a shoulder injury. He's going to come back strong. I really, really like what he did in 17. And then Anibal Sanchez, the grandpa who busted out that cutter last year and was dominant. Do not sleep on him. He's going to be ready to, and again, he's going to come back from what he did last year with Washington. He did it with Atlanta. He's going to be with Washington this year. But Anibal Sanchez is going to be good, and he's free in fantasy leagues.
These are such interesting names because Jimmy Nelson, it's like the proverbial, this is the year where he bounces back, right? This is the year that you get some Jimmy Nelson. And then in the case of Sanchez, man, did he bottom out, right? Like he was dreadful at one point.
He was allowing homers at just such an amazing clip. I mean, you and I would have gone yard on him. It was crazy. The thing of it was, and, you know, he was a Tiger, so I watched him front and center. The thing of it was he still kind of had his strikeout and walk ratio were doing pretty well. It's just that anytime someone got on, there was a 2- or 3-run homer coming up. And so his ERA was just through the roof. Well, he cut the home runs, and a big part of it was getting that cutter last year. And so, again, I don't expect a 2.83 ERA. He was amazing last year. But give him like a 3.60, and he's still worth where he's going. I mean, Anibal Sanchez is so cheap because nobody wants the old guy. And he's like 260th overall pick in fantasy this year.
Talking overvalued and undervalued pitchers in fantasy leagues of baseball with Paul Spohr from Fangraphs. By the way, those who are watching at VSiN.com, VSiN app, and Fubo TV, you'll see blue highlighted names here on Paulie's list of the top 120 pitchers. What those denote, Paul, help me out here, is that is where
a tier break.
Does the tier break happen right after the blue or on the blue?
You know, people asked me that, and I was like, I should have made clear which it was. It starts the new tier, and I'm going to do my March update soon, and I will make that more distinct because I was like, yeah, that's a good question there. So like Blake Snell starts the second tier.
Got it.
Steven Strasburg starts the third tier.
I see. So Scherzer, DeGrom, Sale, Verlander, Cole, Kluber, Nola, Syndergaard, and then next tier, Snell, Kershaw,
correct,
and so forth. Let me ask you about one guy. Let me cherry pick a guy. I'm sure there's no secret on Yusei Kikuchi in Seattle, but where Yusei Kikuchi? But where does he get? Where is it appropriate to draft him? An unknown factor like that.
It's appropriate to draft him where he's going right now because he's going at a pretty good value. The 169th pick off the board. He's around the 64th pitcher, and the way this average draft position works is that it combines starters and relievers. So I don't know exactly where he's going among starters here. They don't delineate, unfortunately. But he's the 64th pitcher taken. That's a pretty good bargain right there. I don't even think it's that big of a gamble. Like when you're getting somebody at past pick 150, that they can be a bigger gamble, and it's not going to cost you too much if they go by the wayside. But I really like Kikuchi. I'm kind of intrigued by what he can do. I think he's going to be a solid sort of mid-rotation type. He's not going to be amazing for fantasy because he is going to be on that schedule where he's pitching every sixth day, so that the volume will be capped. But his per inning performance could be really good. And of course, he had a nice spring training start. Joey Votto was speaking highly of what he was able to do with his curveball and things like that. Obviously, that's one spring training start. Don't go crazy on that. But Kikuchi's a nice, solid mid-rotation guy for your fantasy team for sure.
All right, give me a sleeper or two here then before we get off pitchers.
All right. So as far as going deep on some folks, I'm going to stick with Milwaukee a little bit here and go with Brandon Woodruff. He and Corbin Burns are fighting it out a bit for a role. I'll take whoever wins, to be quite honest. I'm a Brandon Woodruff guy, but if Corbin Burns happens to win that spot, sign me up. I would have been prepared to come on here and talk up the virtues of gambling on like a Colin McHugh or Brad Peacock, but Colin McHugh himself got a little bit nicked up, as did Joshua James, which opened the door for Peacock, and he won't be so sneaky anymore. People will be going crazy for him. So that one's not as sharp as it was, say, 2-3 days ago. Mm-hmm. I also like another one that's more of a gamble. He doesn't have the role right now, but Seth Lugo's a monster with the Mets. And there's no universe where I'm going to believe that Jason Vargas is going to keep him out of the rotation all year. I'm sorry. I'm just not willing to believe that. And another older one that, you know, everyone knows the name, but they've probably forgotten, Jeff Samardzija. Keep a close eye on him, man. If he comes back, if we get all the good progress reports of health and he's not missing spring training starts or falling short of, you know, if they say he's supposed to come out and do 50 pitches and he only does 20 or things like that, that's a concern. But if he's hitting all the targets that he's supposed to, I think he's going to come back and be strong, because the fantasy community has just ditched him. He's the 161st pitcher off the board, pick 356. That is a free pickup. That is an afterthought. And I absolutely think he can bounce back and be strong. One more, by the way, sorry, I got to get in Ross Stripling, but similar to Peacock, he's a little bit more known now because of Kershaw's injury. Everyone's back on the Stripling train, but I want to say that I was out front center on it, because if you look on those rankings, he's ranked 36th, and nobody had Ross Stripling that high. So I was first on Ross Stripling. I'm going to pat myself on the back there.
You got him 36th there. Wow. Yeah, Samardzija, from your lips to God, as my mother would say, for Giants fans. They would love for that to manifest for Jeff Samardzija, the Shark in San Francisco, who had a ridiculous strikeout to walk rate 2 seasons ago. And then Stripling, I actually held a 300-1 Cy Young ticket on him last year at one point, just on a flyer, just in case things went
wrong.
And
he was pitching so well. And then the second half, you know, just he wasn't quite able to hold up. But by the way, he's a great example of what I'm talking about how 122 innings of excellence can be so fantasy valuable. I think he ended up as a top 20 pitcher. Not top 20, I think he was top 28. I think he was like 28th or 29th last year.
Yeah.
So we'll call it top 30, but only with 122 innings. That shows you that you just don't need the volume these days. And I like him to get his shots this year, because listen, even without Kershaw's injury, you know Rich Hill's not going more than 130. Hyunjin Ryu, Kenta Maeda, they're always getting hurt or having their innings protected. Stripling's going to get his opportunities, and I loved what he did last year. And so that's why I'm so bullish on him. You don't have to take him as the 36th pitcher. These rankings that aren't really a draft sheet. It's more of a how I like them. So you kind of mix it with the average draft position, and then you figure out where to take them.
Yeah, and Stripling, much less of a chance that he'll go to the pen this year for all the reasons stated, because he was shipped to the pen last year at some point as well. We'll come back. We'll get Paul's opinions. We'll shift it to betting, get Paul's opinions on AL and NL Cy Young Award props that are just out at the Westgate, and then we'll shift to infield around the horn and outfield as well. Fantasy baseball with Paulie Bill Krakenberger on deck as well. It's a numbers game right here at VSiN.
Now, back to a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander, broadcasting live from our VSiN studios in Las Vegas.
Back on a numbers game with Paul Spohr from FanGraphs, talking fantasy baseball, we'll do a little betting here. NL Cy Young, AL Cy Young. Rob Manfred, is Rob Manfred crazy part two, Paulie? The Atlantic League will become a testing ground for new rules and tweaks for its Major League Baseball brethren. This from the New York Post. One of the considered things, moving the mound back. Moving it back further. What the hell? Paulie, are you there? Paulie is speechless.
I'm here.
All right. What do you think about that?
Can you not hear me?
No, we couldn't. Now we can. Now we can. What in the world?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to support him a little bit on this one.
Oh.
I don't hate it.
Oh.
Because of where it's being done, right? Yeah, the Atlantic League. You got to test these things out somewhere, right? It's a lot better than doing it in, say, AAA. Or heaven forbid, the majors. So you got to try these things out somewhere. We have far too many strikeouts right now, right? Plain and simple. It's become a three true outcome game. And for those that don't know what that is, that means strikeout, home run, and walk. Those are the three true skill-based outcomes. A single can be fluky. Heck, so can a double. And almost all triples have some measure of fluke to them. So that's why they call them the three true outcomes. And it's become too much of that. And that's part of what drives the pace down. The ball isn't in play. We don't have a lot of options for what we can do to kind of fix that because we can't make pitchers throw slower. And part of it is the velo. Moving the mound back a little bit could change it. Now, I think I would do more of lowering the mound.
I was going to say
what
happened to the old just raising or lowering the mound thing that we used to do?
That would be smarter because I do wonder all the unintended consequences of perhaps moving it back, maybe with injuries or what. I don't know. But it's an independent league. I think that's an interesting testing ground. So I'm going to give him credit for where he's doing it, not so much everything that he is doing, but I'm okay with trying this stuff out in the independent league in a well-regarded one too, right? It's not nothing baseball. We know a handful of those teams. Guys have gone through the Long Island Ducks, Sugarland Skeeters, et cetera. So I don't hate this so much for Rob Manfred. So I'll give him a little bit of a check mark here after hammering him in the last segment.
Well, I think it's a harebrained scheme. I think you're right. I mean, it's good that he's doing it in a league that's not the majors, but good Lord, if this ever were to come to the major leagues, every stat we've ever known is done.
That's
nothing matters
the problem,
anymore.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, you're effectively starting a new sport from scratch. It's like, and really this is the best comparison off the top of my head. Let's just raise the rims to 11 feet. And let's just, you know, play basketball a different way than we ever have before. Anyway.
Exactly. And 60 feet, 6 inches has been perfect. 90 feet. It's amazing how perfect 90 feet is to deliver enough close plays and give the routine outs. Like, I agree with you on that. I think raising and lowering the mound is the right way to go as opposed to moving it back. But I am interested to see the results here, at least. Right.
Let's do before we get off pitching then. Here, so the Westgate posted AL Cy Young Award odds, and this is a lot more of a free-for-all than it is in the National League. At the top of the American League, Corey Kluber, still a member of the tribe, Paulie, never moved, plus 350.
Still a god.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be a Dodger at one point. Nope. Chris Sale, your doppelganger, 4-1. Luis Severino with the Yankees got a big extension. He's at 7-1. And then everybody in double digits, Verlander and Carrasco, both at 12-1. And on down the line, the aforementioned Garrett Cole, 15-1, and you see the rest of the names. Trevor Bauer, 20-1. What do you like here?
Yeah, if I'm trying to like not just go hard on the favorites, which Sale would probably be my favorite among the single digit ones. Verlander's up there for sure. You guys, I'm a long time. Anyone who's been hearing my spots with you on the podcast dating till now knows I love Verlander. So I'll get that token mention in there. But for me, it really starts with Garrett Cole. I talked about how much I loved what he did last year with Houston. He was a Cy Young contender without a doubt. I think he can actually build on that. I know, you know, the smartest thing to do statistically is to peel back and put some regression on what he did. But you look at everything that Garrett Cole did and the way his arsenal works, and I just don't really see where the regression comes. So I feel like he's going to put up another amazing season and actually be in contention for the Cy Young. And here's where my contradictory play comes is because I am going to say Bauer as a consideration. So while I am concerned with him in fantasy because he's the ninth pitcher off the board, 20-1 is actually a little bit appealing. So it's a little bit of a hedge there that if I'm wrong, because it is not some very strong statistical case that I have against him. And if he is going to be this guy that we saw last year and not, you know, fall victim to a batted ball that cuts him out and only allows him to have 175 innings. If he does this for a full 210, he's a workhorse type too. I think pitching well and being efficient, I think Bauer can push the 220 type, the old school type of numbers there. So at 20, it becomes a little bit more appealing. So that's where my contradictory statement is. And then a little bit on my long shot, I'm going to go Blake Treinen, the reliever.
Wow.
Because I'm looking, and I just didn't see a whole lot that I loved on the long shots. I wanted to bring a long shot for each, somebody in the plus 10,000 or later. And I just didn't see a lot. You know, Kikuchi, I was glad you brought him up because he's somebody I considered. But like I said, the volume is going to be too tough with him. Brent Honeywell, maybe next year, that's something I'd be interested in. And just a lot of these other guys have too many flaws that I can't get over. Whereas Blake Treinen, I mean, if he does – the kind of amazing stuff that we saw last year, which is going to be hard, but a .78 ERA, a .83 whip, if he's amazing again, he was already a down-ballot guy. If the rest of the pool just kind of clusters and opens the door for a reliever, he could be the guy. So that's my long shot there, and emphasis, heavy emphasis on long shot. But those are my AL guys.
Blake Treinen, 300-1 for the American League Cy Young. National League, same story, although this is obviously more top-heavy, not surprisingly. Scherzer, +250. DeGrom, +350, the reigning Cy Young champ. Aaron Nola for the Phillies at 7-1, and then everybody else in double digits. Clayton Kershaw still getting some love at 12-1. Do not do that.
Gotta move that down.
Yeah, don't do that.
Gotta move that one way down before I would take a shot on that one at this point. I actually found more appealing options here as far as feeling confident about some of the longer odds that I was taking. My Cole comp here would be Noah Syndergaard. Absolutely love him. We still haven't seen the best out of him, 15-1. That's kind of an easy one. I would definitely get in on that. I mean, he has arguably the best stuff in baseball, plain and simple. Noah Syndergaard is an absolute monster. We haven't seen that full 200-inning season yet. Last year, it was an index finger issue and hand-foot-mouth disease. Mm. Like, so Mets for those injuries.
So
but if
Mets.
He just stays healthy,
that's right.
We're getting 200-plus innings of just amazing baseball. And then I'm going to go with two Pirates that I absolutely love this year, one I already mentioned. Jameson Taillon's one of them. And I think he's a total monster. He added a slider last year that really took off in the second half, and he's going to have it from day one this year. I think it's going to make him a bit more of a strikeout guy while not costing him efficiency. One of the reasons he doesn't get a lot of strikeouts in previous years is it didn't want to rob him of his efficiency. He didn't want to build up, you know, 6, 7, 8 pitch at-bats in just to get strikeouts. If I can get you out in three, four pitches, why wouldn't I? This slider really amped his other stuff and was a good pitch on its own. So 50-1 for Jameson Taillon, definitely like him. And then my long shot here, 100-1, Joe Musgrove. I already told you what I liked about him. Mm-hmm. What I will say is I did this recent piece where I was kind of looking at last year's guys and trying to find this year's version of them. And I was looking for a this year Blake Snell. And Joe Musgrove was who I landed on. Now, I understand that might not jive when you kind of think about it, but then I looked at what Snell had done through 17 and what Musgrove has done to his day, you know, through 2018 so far, and they were pretty deadlocked. In fact, Musgrove's walk rate was much better. It was half what Snell did, and his strikeout rate was only 1% below, 22-21. So I know Snell's known as this big strikeout guy, and Musgrove isn't really. But it shows you that these guys can jump. When they get going, the strikeouts follow. So I really love Joe Musgrove, and so I'm going to put him as my long shot there too. So Thor, Taillon, and Musgrove.
And Musgrove, you're seeing at what number right now?
I got him 100 here.
100-1. 100-1.
Yeah.
Musgrove. Could Joe Musgrove be this year's Blake Snell? Interesting. And no love for Bueller, no love for Bueller at 20-1, Corbin at 20-1, nothing there that excites you?
I do love Bueller, but I think the market's already kind of set that and really kind of robbed that of any sort of value there to where he just kind of has to perform. And so, you know, the same thing in fantasy. He's going really high. There's a big playoff fantasy tax, I call it, when a guy just beasts out on the national stage. So, I mean, he's kind of already established as an ace, even though he has 145 major league innings under his belt. So I didn't really like that. And I don't like guys in the first year of a big contract, pitchers specifically, not so much for hitters, but pitchers, I really just stay away from them in fantasy and something like this kind of bet. So I'm not anti-Corbin, but I'm just laying off this year. I want to see how he adjusts to Washington, and then maybe next year we jump back in.
Okay, Paul, stick around. When we come back, I'm going to stay completely out of your way. We're going to go catcher. We're going to go all around the horn here. Catcher, first, second, short, third, and outfield.
Okay.
Undervalued, overvalued, rapid fire. Coming back with Paul Spohr from Fangraphs right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
Now, back to A Numbers Game with your host, Gil Alexander, broadcasting live from our VSiN studios in Las Vegas.
Don't forget, Greg Peterson coming up on the show as well with Bill Krakenberg. We'll do a little college basketball tonight. And the big dance is around the corner, of course. PropSwap wants it to be your most profitable tournament yet. PropSwap, a marketplace where you can buy and sell active sports bets. Think of it like a stock market, if you will. But for betting tickets, buy low on a team with long odds and then sell high for big profit. Last year, Larry S. bet $10 on Loyola and then bam, sold it for $1,000 four games later as they got to the Final Four. As Brent says, cashing tickets is what it's all about. So let PropSwap turn your tickets into cash. Go to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. All right, Paul Spohr, Fangraphs, host of the Sleeper in the Bus podcast as well. Really, you can find him everywhere in the baseball universe. Let's go catchers, overvalued, undervalued. Go!
All right, so overvalued, there's really not that many. It's a weird pool this year. It's pretty crappy, to be quite honest. So the two studs at the top, I think, are being drafted fine. I'm going to say Mike Zunino, though, because I just don't like Mike Zunino. Plain and simple, he cost me a bet. He inexplicably hit. I suckered someone into betting on his batting average one year that he wouldn't hit over 230, and that year he inexplicably hit 250. I'll forever dislike Mike Zunino, so don't draft him. I don't care if he's
very rational.
Undervalued, yes. yeah, super rational, super logical. Undervalued, I like Danny Jansen with Toronto, with Russell Martin out of there. He's really sharp. I think he's going to get the full-time playing time. He looks really good. And Austin Barnes, I'm kind of buying back in. He was a disaster. I kind of was excited about him. I playoff taxed him a few years ago after he had a nice little October, and it definitely didn't work. He's sunk completely now. He is an afterthought at catcher, but I like him to bounce back there. I don't think Russell Martin's going to take the job from him. Do you want to say something about them and then go to the next position, or just jump right to first base?
First base. Go ahead.
All right. First base, Joey Gallo, overvalued. Listen, I get that he hits 40 homers, but he does it with a 205 average. And so I can get my undervalued guys who might not hit 40. They might only hit 32, 33, but I'll take the seven-homer trade-off for 35-plus points of batting average. And that would be Matt Olson, who I absolutely love. And by the way, I sneak tip believe he can hit 40-plus homers this year. In fact, I think I talked about him on the home run prop
situation. You did, yeah.
So I love Matt Olson. And then Ryan O'Hearn, I actually see as kind of a baby Matt Olson out there in Kansas City, not getting a whole lot of attention. He's really interesting, too. So Gallo fade, Olson, O'Hearn buy. And then at second base, overvalued, Javi Baez. And this is one of those, this is similar to what I was talking about earlier with a Bauer. It's not that I think Baez is going to be a complete trash bag. He has three positions in fantasy, which is great. Second, short, and third. So that's always valuable. And he's going to be good. He's going to hit you some power and steal you some bases. I just don't know that he's worth the 17th pick this year. I worry about the volatility of his plate approach. So I got him a little bit overvalued. I love, and everyone does, but his price doesn't quite reflect it yet. I love Daniel Murphy in Colorado. Never has a park and player been so perfectly matched. He could hit 350 this year. That's actually realistically possible. And then for a deeper one, I'll go with Ketel Marte. And I'm a recent Marte convert. I was never really a big fan until doing some off-season research on his previous season here. Now, the one thing is he's always been known or perceived as some big stolen base guy, and he's never really done that. And that's why I haven't liked him. I'm like, why do people keep projecting him for steals? I'm actually more intrigued by his power boost from last year and what he was able to do there. He's going to play full-time with some of the trades and moves that they've done with Pollock, the free agent signing, and Goldie gone. So I think Ketel Marte is going to get a full-time playing role, and I think he can go with 20-plus homers, and then maybe run a little bit. I mean, he's had 11 in a season before. If he can get up to 15, if you're talking 2015 with a 265 average, that's really valuable, and he qualifies at second and short, so I like Ketel Marte. Those are my three positions there.
I'm glad you brought up Daniel Murphy, because obviously the move to Coors is just everything. You haven't listed fourth here, and understandably so, behind Altuve, Baez, and Merrifield, but Daniel Murphy in Colorado could be a big blow-up kind of thing. It's the same reason why probably Arenado should be your number one third baseman in perpetuity, right?
Of course.
In Colorado. The one question I would ask you on that second base list, if you could throw that up one more time, Mateo, is Minnesota. And I just relate this to football. Sometimes in football, there's a quirk where you can use somebody at one position, even though he's actually playing another. Marwin Gonzalez going to Minnesota. Platooning, I don't know if platooning is the right word here with Jonathan Scope, because I don't think that's what's going to end up happening. But you have Marwin here listed at second base, yet, he's playing other positions as well. Could you fudge something with him?
No, you can put him everywhere. That's what makes him so valuable. And the deeper your league where, injuries can strike and the waiver wire is thinner, a guy like Marwin Gonzalez, who isn't, some superstar offensively, he's very valuable, though, because you can move him to all those spots. And so when a key free agent comes up, if it's a second baseman and you have your second base locked, well, with Marwin, you move him around, and then you can afford to get the free agent flavor of the week. So I love Marwin for that reason alone. I value positional flexibility quite a bit. maybe more than the rest of the industry. I think it's very valuable in season to have guys who can move around. It really keeps your flexibility. So somebody like Marwin, I do like, and I think they're going to get him his playing time.
Yeah.
He's a super utility. He's a Ben Zobrist. You know, at Ben Zobrist's peak, he was playing everywhere, but he was playing every day. So he's not a utility hitter who only plays four times a week. He's a utility guy who plays 6-7 days a week. And that's what Marwin's going to be.
Great flex player for fantasy baseball. We'll come back. We'll do third base and, shortstop, third base in the outfield. Paul Spohr from Fangraphs talking fantasy right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
Now, back to A Numbers Game with your host, Gil Alexander, broadcasting live from our VSiN studios in Las Vegas.
Back on A Numbers Game here at VSiN, SiriusXM Channel 204. If you sign up for the free daily VSiN City newsletter, you'll also get our special betting guide, VSiN's Racers Odds. It should be pointed out for Sunday's big race here in Las Vegas, big NASCAR race, that is. VSiN's Racers Odds betting guide featuring in-depth race preview, focusing on analysis of past race results here in Vegas at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway and the changes expected for the Pennzoil 400. Full pages for each of 25 top contending drivers for Sunday. Steve Mackinnon's race simulation, which will be out in the pre-weekend version and updated Saturday following all practice and qualifying sessions. Both the VSiN City newsletter and the Racers Odds betting guide are free. Racers Odds betting guide information at VSiN.com/race. That's VSiN.com/race. And we'll have Jeff Colleandro in tomorrow on the show to discuss that race as well. Paul Spohr is on with us, kind enough to join us all hour long talking fantasy baseball, little betting props as well. It should be noted, by the way, Paul at Spohr on Twitter, at S-P-O-R-E-R. And Paulie, you are tweeting out links to your rankings on every position, correct, as you make them?
Yes, and so I did first and second yesterday. Starters are already up, but the rest will actually be out today and tomorrow. So we won't have the new ones to flash up on the screen there, but there will be some extras today. So folks that want to follow me on Twitter, they'll get the links to those today, including shortstop and third base, which I know we're about to cover here. So you want to dive in right now?
Yeah, let's do a little sneak preview on those.
All right, let's talk a little bit about shortstops. Sorry, Yankees fans, the overvalued for me is a little bit on Gleyber Torres. Ooh. And again, it's not the outright bust that I think he's going to completely fall on his face. But I do see, the sophomore slump thing gets thrown around a lot, but there is value to it. And it's not so much that, it's guaranteed every year. It's just that when you have an amazing rookie year, you usually only have one place to go, and that's down. It's to kind of, smooth back out as the league adjusts to you. And there's an adage that I learned years ago. I believe it was Ron Chandler who coined it, or at least that's where I heard it from. Prospect growth isn't linear. And I use that all the time because it's a good reminder because somebody had a big season doesn't mean they're going to build on that and continue to stair step up into a star. And this works for even non-prospects, who have graduated off prospect list. They might be in their third year or whatever. It's not always going to be this perfect rise into excellence. So I think Gleyber Torres kind of comes back to the pack a little bit this year. He's okay, not great, and then maybe takes off into superstardom for 2020. As far as undervalued, I really like Jorge Polanco out in Minnesota. I think he's going to be really interesting. By the way, Ketel Marte also counts at shortstop, so there's a little bonus one there. He counts at both positions. But I like Jorge Polanco. I think he's, he did get popped for PEDs. I'm not too worried about that, though. I don't hold that against guys once they come back. It's whatever. I mean, I don't play the moral police with that. He served a suspension. It's time to move on. And then another one who's actually going to be playing second base, but he only qualifies at short coming into the season, is Garrett Hampson out in Colorado. Absolutely love him. First off, ABC of fantasy baseball, always bet on Coors. It's that simple. It's not that hard. It's not cheating to do it. It's not cheesy to do it. It's the smart play.
It's a smart thing. Smart thing to do. Coors. Yeah, and DFS, first question I ask every day, is there a game at Coors or not? That's the first question.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so Garrett Hampson's an interesting prospect. He's got great bat-to-ball skills. He knows how to take a walk, and he's got premium speed. And speed is hard to come by in fantasy these days. A perfect world scenario. This is not the projection I would give him, but everything really broke right, is 40 stolen bases for Garrett Hampson. That's the kind of speed that he has, and he has good bat-to-ball skills. So I really like him as a breakout at short. And then third base, sorry, Yankees fans, it's Miguel Andujar. And honestly, he's even a bigger case for a sophomore slump than Gleyber Torres because he was better than Torres. And so, like I said, there's really only one spot to come, and that's down to kind of smooth out a little bit. And as the league kind of catches up and adjusts back to Miguel Andujar, he's a quality player for sure, but I just don't know that he's going to hit 297 again with the 27 homers. And his defense is so wretched that I wonder if it'll cost him some time as well, and he might not get that 606 plate appearances again. So that's actually my bigger concern than the bat. And then underrated, oh, God, I love Max Muncy, and I just don't think he's getting enough love off of what he did last year. And I know you might say, well, why wouldn't he have a sophomore slump? Like, well, technically, he wasn't a rookie, so that's one reason. But also because of the skills that he put underneath his season. I'm not necessarily saying that he's going to add to his 35 homers. He might only hit another 35, but instead of doing it in 481 plate appearances, it's in 620, so it's like a full season. But the underneath skills with the 16% walk rate is just so impressive, and he's much more aggressive on the pitches that he can do damage with. And I just love what Max Muncy did. I think he can put up 100 runs and 100 ribbies in that Dodgers lineup too. I know there are some concerns that he'll get platooned. He's too good to be platooned. So they might take him out against lefties here and there a little bit early on, but I think they're going to realize that he can play against lefties and he should be an everyday player. So I love Max Muncy.
Okay.
And then outfield, finishing it up. This one's another one that where I don't hate him. I just don't like him at his cost. That's George Springer. He's a little bit of an accumulator, and so you really need him to stay healthy to pan out. He's a present-day Adam Jones, Hunter Pence, and go kind of look at their career trajectory. They eventually, you know, they were always solid, but then they just kind of meandered off into being mediocre. And so he doesn't have any standout skills. He doesn't run anymore either. So that's George Springer. Just don't love him there. There's other guys I'd like to chase. And then I got a little bit of a couple of veteran types here. One who's a little bit unknown. Well, not anymore after the contract he got. But Andrew McCutchen is the one that everyone knows, of course. He was great last year. I don't think people realize it because he was in San Francisco, and so that hid some of his production. But then when he went to New York, the skills took – like they shone again. They shone brightly. So I love him in Philly for a whole year. I think he's being a bit underrated. And then the guy who I thought, you know, before he got 7 years, 70 mil, Aaron Hicks might have been a little bit underrated for New York. But now everyone kind of knows the name, and they should. This guy is health, just staying healthy one season away from a 30-20 breakout type of season. He is that electric. He's got great skills. He also takes walks, so he is on base, stays high. Premium defender, so he should always be in the lineup. I love Aaron Hicks. I'm going to keep calling for the breakout, Gail. I don't care if he's 35. I'm still going to be calling for the breakout season for Aaron Hicks. I just believe in him so much. Can I just sprinkle some health dust on him?
Yes.
And I mean, I guess that would be PEDs, but no. So don't take PEDs. But if we could just keep him healthy for 155 games, he'd be an absolute monster.
And no Miami Marlin in sight. Have you ever seen a team that is more bereft of fantasy talent than this team in all your years playing fantasy?
No, because they're also in a brutal park.
Yeah.
So none of their hitters are all that appealing. They actually have some interesting pitchers, but that division is an absolute nightmare.
Yeah.
And so they don't get to face themselves. So I don't even want to take a shot on those pitchers going against Atlanta, Washington, Philly, and the Mets all the time. So no, completely bereft of talent. I might spot start one of their pitchers every once in a blue moon, but for the most part, I'm completely ignoring that team.
All right, we'll see if Peter O'Brien has some breakout like Jason Weingarten hoped with his home run long shot pick. Paul Spohr from Fangraphs. The Sleeper in the Bust is the name of his podcast. And again, he'll tweet out all of these position rankings at Spore, S-P-O-R-E-R on Twitter. Paulie, can't thank you enough, man. We'll put this in podcast form for those who missed it as well. Appreciate it.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.